This first reading is from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence, singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best, high king over all the gods. In one hand, he holds deep caves and caverns. In the other hand, grasps the high mountains. He made the ocean. He owns it. His hands sculptured the earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before him. On your knees before God who made us. Oh yes, he's our God. And we're the people he pastures. The flock he feeds. That concludes the first reading.
Thank you, Linda. Let us now also read from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. And Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. Here ends our scripture reading. Brothers, sisters, beloved in Christ, on this day of celebration and gratitude, a special day marked in the history of our church, our thoughts, hopes, and prayers are already shifting to the future. Therefore, we sing, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for times to come. What is our hope for times to come? What is our dream, or better, what is our vision for our church and its people? Well, we need not look too far. You see, Christianity itself began with a vision and a dream. The story of our faith is the story of men and women who got close enough to Jesus to be inspired by his dream. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and shared his dream with poor fisher folk. And the Bible says that Simon Peter and Andrew immediately let go of all their other interests and followed Jesus. It does sound a little abrupt. What? They followed him with no discussion, not even, well, let me think about it and I'll get back to you tomorrow. They didn't respond it with, no, don't call us, we'll call you. Obviously, something unusual happened that day long ago on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. What was so special about the dream, the vision of Jesus? Well, one thing we know for sure, Jesus had God's kingdom in mind. Jesus had a dream of a changed, different world with peace and no war, with love and no hate, with justice, righteousness, without apartheid and discrimination. It was a message that conquered the hearts and hopes of the impoverished, the despised, and overlooked Jews of Nazareth that battled to make a living on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And at that time Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And they believed and they followed. What was there about that kingdom that got these ancient anglers so excited? Brother, sister in Christ, Jesus had a vision for the world, a dream, a picture of how life can and should be. Jesus saw a world where God ruled in every heart. A world of righteousness, peace, and justice. A world of love, harmony, and unity. Jesus simply called it the kingdom of God. Jesus said that this kingdom is at hand. It's available. It's not merely a distant dream. It is a present possibility. And occasionally, even in our times, people still catch a glimpse of that kingdom. And let me tell you, when people get on fire for the kingdom of God, things happen, still happen. Lives are touched. Lives are changed. Changed exactly like long ago on the shores of the Galilean Sea. The question before us right here in 2011, times are changing. Can you and I still get excited about a world in which you can always trust people to do the right thing because God lives in their heart? Can you still get excited about a world without child abuse, without murder, without broken families or drug addiction? Just imagine a world without fear, poverty, or disease. Well, I don't know about us, but I can tell you that the earliest Christians really got excited. Jesus' dream also became their inspiration. They believed such a world was possible, and many of them gave their lives to see it become a reality. And the disciples also became excited about the role they personally would play in following Jesus. What did he say? He said to them, "Come on, I'm going to make you fishers of people." Well, they knew all about fishing for fish. But Jesus was calling them to something far more significant. He was calling them to introduce men and women to his kingdom of love, this kingdom of power, this kingdom of God on earth. They would not be passive spectators of this coming kingdom. They would become active participants. They would make a difference, a lasting difference in their world and in individual lives. No wonder they were excited. They were going to help change the world. There's something very special about Jesus of Nazareth. There is something very special about his dream. It is a dream of the rule of God in every heart. It is a dream of a world freed from the grip of man's inhumanity to humankind. And Christ is still inviting ordinary people like you and me to follow him and to be fishers of people. People have been asking me in the past days, where are we heading? Where are we going? What are we going to do as we go into a new future? Kivadas brought us to this point. And the only answer I could think of, oh God, make us unconquerable. Your followers were killed, they were maimed, they were martyred, but they still conquered. And we are the generation of our times. And that's why as we enter the future, we say we believe in Invictus. With God, we fear not. Even if it brings pain, martyrdom, whatever. God is in this place. God is in our lives. Let us then this morning, this moment, accept the challenge of the future. Let God's way be our way, and we will have nothing to fear into the future. Oh, deep, deep in my heart, I still believe, after almost a half century in the pulpit, I still believe we shall live in peace someday. And God would come into our midst and let us live. Amen.